by now, I would have labeled me a lost car, 'cause I feel just like a lost car. If I were you, I would have turned around and walked away. I would have labeled me beyond repair, 'cause I feel like I'm beyond repair. Oh, but somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction when the whole world walks away. You're the God who stands with wide open arms, and you tell me nothing I have ever done could separate my heart from the God who stays. I used to hide every time I thought I let you down. Always thought I had to earn my way, but I'm learning you don't work that way. 'Cause somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God.
The God who stays and goes in a direction which is the right way, and sometimes we go on directions that could be the wrong way. And I would pick up my dear friend Lisa, but I'm gonna call her a popsicle anyway, because where she's at is freezing anyhow. So maybe I ain't too far from the North Pole. I could come down and drop some Christmas gifts for you. But yes, the beard did grow back, Rick, you know, and I'm not using cheap just for men the diet no more, so I'm just letting it be. So again, it's Friday night. Welcome everybody back, and our dear friend Ricky's back with us again. So everybody give him a good warm welcome and let him know how much he is appreciated around here. It's good to always see people coming back. And as always, it is time for another message on Friday nights. We do messages on Thursday nights, and I do repeat these messages on Saturday mornings on Facebook. And I started this week doing what I call midweek services on Facebook. So I'm going to try to start doing some scheduling and see which would be optimal times for different folks. So with that, and I noticed when Rick was asking, you know, about what was the title of the message, And I'm thinking, well, the bot's been broadcasting it over and over, and I wonder why he didn't see it. And I realized that the bot is down and it's not working. Well, go figure. What else do we need? On top of everything else, the bot's not working, so I got to address that issue tomorrow. For some reason, it was doing fine, but I can't remember when it quit working, you know. So that's kind of how we feel a little bit in the message I'm going to talk about. But do you ever feel like that you're going in circles and you're not making any progress? Am I going to be the only one that's going to be honestly answered like, hey, yeah, thank you, Lisa. At least you're honest. But yeah, I do feel like we're going in circles. I do feel like half the time, hey, I'm not making any progress. And I went to visit a dear friend in church today. And, you know, I saw her Sunday sitting up there on the podium. You know, she's a singer for a church. And I can tell something was troubling her. You know, you can see the expression in her face. You can see she was not herself. And she's been on my mind for the better part of the week. And this morning, the Lord was putting it on my heart again. So I said, you know what? I think I better go down there and talk to her, which I did. And we was talking, you know, and we was talking about some of the progress we made in our lives. But then a lot of times, the enemy, he likes to come back and knock us a few steps backwards to make us think that we're not making progress. And that's why, you know, when I was putting this lesson together, I was thinking about it last week, you know, because a lot of issues we've been battling in life, you know, we've been having technical issues, we've been having video issues, we've been having this issues, my wife's been having issues, y'all been having issues. It just seemed like that's just going around everywhere. And sometimes I believe, folks, it will make you feel like, hey, I'm not gaining no ground. But folks, let me tell you something, we are. We're gaining ground. You know, if God's with us, we're making progress, even though sometimes we may not see it. But at least we're making progress. And at least the kind of progress, you know, when you're thinking you're not making any progress, not at least the kind that you're expecting. But if you're like me, and I'm sure you can agree with this, we all have hopes and we all have dreams that each of us wants to fulfill. I do. I have hopes. And I have dreams that I do want to fulfill. They hadn't happened yet, so I'm not saying, well, if they ain't happened yet, what does that mean? I'm not making progress? No, it's just mean it's not my time yet. It may not be ready for me yet. Who knows? So we can't let that discourage us whenever we are not achieving our dreams. Because, folks, if you got a dream, pursue it. Pursue it. But in light of this, life can be confusing at times. It really can. And most days you know which direction to go. Most of us do. We know exactly which direction to go. But then ask yourself, is this the right way to go? Or which way should I go? Sometimes in uncertain times, you know, we need to ask ourselves, Lord, is this the right direction for me to go? Or should I go? Or should I just wait? Y'all remember a while back when I mentioned I used my illustration, you know, the crossroads. And I came to a point in my life I was at the crossroads. And I had to look north and south and east and west. And one of my dear friends, you know, I like how he was picking at me. He said, well, Jim, when you're standing at the crossroads, which direction should you have been looking at? I'm like, well, I was trying to decide which way to go. He said, no, should have been looking up. Yeah. See, folks, when we are seeking directions in our lives, we shouldn't be looking forward. We shouldn't be looking to the side. We shouldn't be looking back. We shouldn't be looking down. We should be looking up. And by looking up and setting your mind and focused on Christ, He will show you the direction to go. Now, if you're like me, wouldn't it be awesome to wake up every morning and be assured that you are on the right path towards your goals? I think it would be awesome if we woke up every morning and we had the full assurances that we are on the right path, reaching our goals. Wouldn't it be nice to know with certainty that you're heading in the right direction? Oh, yeah. It would be nice. To feel confident with each step without even questioning yourself. Wouldn't that be nice? And if we're not careful, many of us can fall into what I call a pattern of second guessing our decisions of which direction we should go. Be careful. It's a bad trap. We can fall into that pattern. We can start second guessing our decisions. Does that ever happen to you folks? Does it? Isn't it exhausting thinking about it? Yes. It's exhausting thinking about it, isn't it? Whew. See, and I keep using this, she knows who I'm talking about, but one of my dear friends says in her comments, and I mentioned it last night, what we need to start doing, we never want to be the person who is attempting to lead the Holy Spirit. In fact, should be the other way around. He should be the one leading us and not us leading him. And by the way, at least if you notice, I'm not leaning down in my scriptures anymore because these are a new pair of glasses I went and got yesterday. They changed my prescription, so now I can stand at my normal height and just kind of look down my notes and I see good. And I'm reading a little better. But, you know, anyway, we need to let the Holy Spirit lead us. So if you're ever unsure about which direction to go or where you got to head, or what to do, and like I was telling a dear lady friend I was visiting this morning, because again, I was trying to comfort her because she was having some trouble, and she confided in me, and I told her, I said, dear, you know what? If that's what becomes, then that becomes. Let the Spirit lead you. And if it gets to the point that you can no longer sing, you can still sing in your spirit. That might be a direction God is leading you. He might be leading you down a path where it's time for you to say, you know, child, you've been singing at this church since you were a little bitty child. I'm not going to mention age, but she is older than I. And it might be coming to a time that it's now time to seek someone else to step up. Or if not, God may just heal the voice and she keeps on singing to well into the hundreds. Who knows? But if you got your scriptures with you, or your Bible, Lisa will post them for you. Our reading scriptures for tonight is Psalms chapter 37, verse 23. And look what it says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. We thank you again for allowing us to gather together. And Father, we want to give thanks for you to trying to bring old friends back here. And we got a couple of them to shield back up. You know, we've been missing them and thinking about them and praying for them. And, you know, we had others who were here. I don't know why they decided to leave also. But, you know, that's between you and them. But you know what? We want to try to be a little small group of small family type people. We want to give you the glory and honor. We want to praise you. We want to enjoy fellowship together, because in these trying times, in these days, we do need directions. We do need your guidance. We do need your understanding. We do need you to show us where to go, which path to take, what we must do. Father, this world, we think sometimes the way man describes it is chaotic, but it's not chaotic. It's not in chaos. It never is, never was. You have the ultimate plan. You have it all under control. You are the one that directs us to where we need to go. I ask you to bless those folks here tonight, those who couldn't be here tonight for whatever reason. Be with them, speak to their hearts, and draw them. Guard them, watch over them, take care of them, and let them know you love him very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Mr. Rick, to answer your question, you was wondering what the title of this message is. Well, again, I thought the bot was working, but apparently it was not. But the title of this message tonight, my friends, which way are you going? Which way are you going, my friends? And when you look at the wording in our reading passage here, and I like this, the way it was described. When you look at this word, and the Lord himself delights in his ways. So, the question comes to my mind here, folks. Who is this good man in whom the Lord delights? Have you ever thought about that? If you ever read the passage, you know, whenever we read scriptures, it's always good to meditate on the scriptures and wonder the who, what, why, when, and where. And when thinking about this, I was trying to find a good illustration, a good scripture to tie into this. When I was looking at this, and I looked at the wording when it says that the Lord himself delights in his ways. So, who is the good man in whom the Lord delights? In case you're wondering, the answer is, I should play a Jeopardy thing, the person in whom God delights is the one who follows God, trusts in him, and tries to do his will. That's who the Lord delights in, the one who follows, trusts, and tries to do his will. And folks, let me tell you something right now. God watches over and makes firm every step that the person takes. He's with us every way. He's consistently walking with us. He's never allowing us to be alone. We may think that way sometimes, but we are not alone. He is consistently making firm every step that you and I take. And if you would like to have God direct your way, then seek his advice before you end up stepping out of his ways and allow him to do the leading. Again, my friends, if you like to have God direct your ways, then seek his advice before you start stepping out of his way. And let him lead you. We've been hitting on this for the last, the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks now, talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit. Why, you know, he's been putting this in our mind so much, leading. You know, and I never really thought about that, you know. But, you know, now thinking about this and thinking about direction, I think that's very important, especially in this day and age, that we need him to lead us instead of us trying to do it ourselves. Now, men, I am sorry, those online listeners, I am sorry for you if you get a little bent out of shape. But let me tell you something. Us men, we are bad in directions. If we are lost, we refuse to let our loved ones know we're lost. And when they suggest, well, once you pull over and get some directions, I know where I'm going. I don't need no directions. I know exactly where I'm going. And we are ride around and ride around and ride around for hours at a time. And we will not admit to our wives, yeah, we're lost and I ain't got a clue which direction we're going. You see, folks, we're bad at that. Wouldn't it be better just to say, well, Rick, back in my days, we didn't have GPSs, my friend, so, you know. But wouldn't it be best if we just let him lead? So, in the directions that we are asking him to lead us, wouldn't you ask yourself the question, or if you need directions, wouldn't it be best to ask this question? Or say, Lord, is this the way you would have me go? Wouldn't it be just that simple to say, you know, and I told a lady friend today, you know, she was asking me about my ministry. She said, well, Jim, what are your plans? What you plan on doing or where you're going? I said, Miss Connie, I have no clue. You see, In the past, as we've been talking about deleting, I used to try to make my directions to go where I wanted to go. See, in the last couple of years, that's how I was doing things. I was trying to make my directions go where I wanted to go. But now I came to the point, you know what? It's no longer about which direction I want to go. Now it's about, Lord, which direction do you want me to go? Yeah, thank you, dear. Some don't want to give up that control, and I didn't either. So you got to ask yourself this question. Is this the way the Lord would have me go when facing something in your life? Listen to this. I like this illustration. A man called his neighbor to help him move a couch that became stuck in the doorway. So they pushed and pulled and pushed and pulled until they were exhausted. The couch wouldn't budge. It wouldn't move. "Forget it," the man finally says who was helping. "We'll never get this thing in." The neighbor looks at him kind of funny and quizzically like, and said, "In? I thought we were going out." See, folks, just like the person trying to move the couch out, the other one was trying to help him go in. Each had a direction in their minds of which way they were going. They did. They knew in their minds which direction they were going. But what happened, none of them sought to ask which was the way to go. And folks, we are like that sometimes too. We are like stubborn mules because, you know what? We want to push and sometimes we want to pull, but we never want to stop and say, "God, which way is the way you want me to go?" See, folks, how we approach God expectantly or hesitantly will have a direct effect on the outcome of our request of which direction we should go. In order for us to understand what we must do, we must either expectantly or hesitantly ask him and be humble and say, "Okay, Lord, which direction should we go? And how should I do it?" And this is what I told my dear friend later today. I said, "You know what?" I said, "I have come to a point in my life, I am not trying to force the issues no more. I'm just waiting expectantly and asking, Lord, which way to go?" So, in the title of this message, which way are you going? Which way are you heading? Well, I got several illustrations to use or several points. You know, how do we define which direction to go? What is the correct way of learning which direction to go? Which direction to go? Well, to help you understand this, the first way of the right direction in all of us, are you ready for this? The first way in the right direction are, as we just read in our scripture verse, the steps of a good man. Now, if you're thinking, are your steps ordered by the Lord, or are you going your own way? Are your steps ordered by the Lord, or are you going your own way? Are you trying to be like old Frank Sinatra? Are you going in your own preconceived direction? Are you? Well, listen to what Mark chapter 10, verse 18 says. And I like this illustration how Jesus says it. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now, we just read in Psalms when it says right there that the steps of the man are established by the Lord when he delights in his ways. But then I just gave you an illustration that the steps of a good man is the right way in going in a direction. Now, you might be thinking, "Well, Jim, sounds like a contradiction," because really Jesus said there's nothing not good, right? It's right there. And that's true. But what we're trying to illustrate to us, a good man, or we should say a good brother and sister in Christ. God sees us as good as long as we're covered by the blood. So I want you to understand a little bit of this. But see, Jesus was trying to tell this, but even though I'm trying to tell you the steps in the right direction begins with the step of a good person. Meaning if we're following Christ, then God will ordain our steps in the directions that we need to go. But to be a good man, we must become what I call a godly person. I hope you understand this. I know, but to be a good man, you and I must become a godly person. And what Jesus was trying to do within this passage right here, he was really trying to tell this rich young man, or really trying to help him understand, to give him to acknowledge him as the Messiah. That's what Jesus was attempting to try to open his eyes up, saying, look, I am the Messiah. You're seeing him right now, eyeball to eyeball. What is it you don't see? You're looking at God in the flesh, and yet you're not getting it. Kind of like that technical support lady I was talking to today. I kept telling her the same thing over and over and over, and yet she was not getting it, and I was telling her plain day what I was asking. You see, folks, to be a godly person, we must acknowledge him in all that we do. In all. Putting him first in all that we do. If we place other things before God, then our eyes are not firmly planted on him. Then we will wind up doing our very own thing. And the worst part of this is, we at times think whatever that we decide to do, it's the right thing to do. Hadn't we done that before? We put that preconceived notion in our minds that we think, hey, what I'm going to do, that I know is going to be the right thing to do. And how many times did it backfire on us? I'm not even going to try to count. But look at Israel for an example. They tried doing the same exact thing. Look what Judges chapter 17 verse 6 says. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? We kind of at times think, hey, I'm going to do what's right in my own eyes. I'm going to handle it my way. But you have to understand this passage. You have to understand, during the time of the judges, the people of Israel, they experienced trouble because everyone became his or her own authority and acted on his or her own opinions of right and wrong. Everybody was doing their own thing. And this produced horrific results. Now, think about this. Isn't our world today something similar? See, Lisa's ahead of me. Isn't our world today exactly sounding like that? Everybody is doing their own thing and being done now? Individual groups? Societies? People doing their own thing, acting in their own ways? They end up finding themselves the final authority without reference to God? When people selfishly satisfy their own personal desires at all cost, everyone pays the price, folks. Everyone pays the price. And as a result, justice is soon replaced by revenge and chaos. That's why it's so important to have order. That's why it's so important to have directions. That's why it's so important to have God in the center of it. Since we decided as a society to take God away, God, I don't need you no more. I'm going to do my own thing. Just like the Israelites was doing in Judges. Everybody decided they were going to be their own authority. And folks, ignoring God's direction leads to confusion and destruction. As it did them, it's doing the same for us. And all you got to do really right now, I'm kind of getting tired of it, but all you got to do right now, look. Just look at what's going on in many parts of the world right now. You don't have to look far. Anyone or any country who has not submitted to God will end up doing whatever they seem right. Wow. And this tendency, really, in all honesty, is present in all of us. To know what is really right and to have the strength to do it. Look, folks, we need to draw closer to God and His Word and follow the direction that He leads us. If we're going to see any recovery, any sort of revival, we're going to have to submit to God's authority and surrender to Him. God's not going to force nobody to accept Him. But if these people do not come to their senses and do them just like what the children of Israel were doing, then it's going to be nothing but self-destruction. And God's going to allow it. He's going to let them. I can't quote God. I can't stand here and say, I know what God's thinking. I don't. But I got a general idea. I think I know what God's probably thinking. You know what? If that's what y'all want, fine. Have at it. But don't blame me. And if you notice, when everything's gone wrong for a lot of people, they're starting to blame God. But they're blaming the wrong person. They should be blaming themselves. God wants to help us. But we don't want it. We want to do our own thing. Why am I saying this? Look what happened to all the wicked people. Look what Psalms chapter 37, verse 21 says. And I like this. The wicked borrows but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. There's your clear illustration right there, my friend. The wicked does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. In other words, the wicked, they avoid their responsibilities. But look at the end results of the wicked, which Psalms chapter 37, verse 20 says. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They will vanish. Like smoke, they vanish away. See, I reminded my dear wife last night, you know what, baby? Let those wicked people do what they're doing. Quit worrying about them. Don't get stressed out about them. Let them do their own thing. Just like God did with the Israelites, God will deal with those people. And the end results for them, they will perish. And like smoke, they will too someday vanish away. We need to understand, my friends, that the steps of a righteous person are ordered and led by the Lord. So, are your steps of a good man? Are they? Don't be so quick to answer yes until you really do a full, heartfelt examination. But look what, I don't know if y'all know this guy, you know, I just found a quote on the internet. But look what this guy, Hugh Latimer, said. I think that's how you pronounce it. Latimer. And look what he said. We must first be made good before we can do good. We must first be made just before our works can please God. We are justified by faith in Christ, then comes good works. He has a good point. Before we can do any good, we first must be made righteous. And that only comes by Christ Himself. So the second way in the right direction in our lives, I like this one, and we just kind of hit on it a little bit. The second way for a right direction is ordered by God. Or in other words, ordered by the Lord. Same thing, Trinity. So now the question comes back, what does it mean to be ordered by the Lord? You got any clue? What does that mean? I never heard that word before, Jim. What does it mean to be ordered by the Lord? Now, we understand what orders mean, like the military. You know, when you're given an order, you follow it, right? Does that mean just because God has to order our steps, does that mean that we must ourselves become like robots and follow the commands? Yes, we got to follow God, but we're not robots. No, by no means. We don't act like that. No. Why did I say that? Look what Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. See where we're going with this? The Lord establishes his step. So in other words, if your heart is right before God, and God's words is in your heart, then the Lord will direct your steps. No yes, no buts. Now, there are many times we do become confused by being like those Israelites, doing what we seem is right before our eyes. And when we kind of get to that point, then we must ask the question, am I doing this for myself, or am I listening to God and seeking His direction for my life? Bottom line, our focus must always be on the Lord and not on our current circumstances. Do you get this? Our focus must be always on the Lord and never on our circumstances. Yes, it's so easy to get caught up in our circumstances. It's so easy to get wrapped up into it. I was kind of getting wrapped up into it today, but you know what? I had to step back and, okay, God, you got to handle this. And we get like that. We do. So to have our steps ordered by the Lord, folks, we must first seek Him in all that we do and get His word firmly planted into our hearts. I was telling someone the other day who was passing through that pre-entry server room, and he had some problems. I said, look, I can't tell you to say yes to Jesus. I can't make you accept Jesus. I can't make you do what you got to do. You have to make the first choice to decide which direction you're going to go. And you're going to have to surrender your life to Christ or continue suffering in what you're dealing with. But let me be warning to you. Let me give you a little warning because, again, everybody sometimes puts it in their mind, oh, if I come to Jesus, everything's going to be okay. I wish it were so. I thought that when I first came to Christ, that, hey, when I, you know what, if I give my life to Christ, everything is going to be fine. 18 years later, do I still think that way? Nope. I found out really quick, it's never going to be fine. We are going to experience trials and tribulations and heartaches and pains and suffering like we can't even imagine. And we think, you know, hey, well, wait a minute. If I'm a follower of Christ, I should be exempt from all this. But we're not. We must trust in God to allow Him to lead us. We must ask the self, am I doing this for God or am I doing it for self? And the reason why I'm saying that we must be firmly planted and looking at him and having him planted in our lives, looking to him can make a big difference in our future. Why I'm saying this, look what Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 says. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Boy, it sounds good at first, but then all of a sudden now, wait a minute. Now you're going to bring me into judgment? Whoa, Nelly. See, folks, we often hear people say, well, you know what? It doesn't matter. But I say, it does matter. Because many of your choices will be irreversible. Many of your choices, my friends, even as a Christian, if they are made wrong, will be irreversible. They will stay with you for a lifetime. And I talk to some people and I let them know, hey, look, at times whenever we do sin on purpose, and we know we shouldn't, but yet we do, there will be consequences to those sins. The old saying goes, pay me now or pay me later. But payment is due. Payment is due, and it will come. So don't do anything physically, morally, or spiritually that will prevent you from missing out on his kingdom. Please don't do that kind. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. You see, folks, when we seek his kingdom and his righteousness through what Jesus has done for us on the cross, then God himself directs our path and shows us the right way to go. As long as you're willing to follow. As long as you're willing to let him lead. The third way, or third direction that we should be heading in our lives, and what we should be doing, is he delights in his ways. Now, I think you can understand that, because if we are truly loving God with no burdens, no hardships, no nothing, if we are saying, God, I love you, I'm serving you freely, we should delight in the ways of God, regardless of what's going on. I know that's tough. Whew. It's tough on all of us. We wanted to do right by God. But then, you know, when we want to delight in his ways, but then when we run across problems, then it makes it difficult on us. It really does. But as the passage that we have read just not too long ago, when he says that he delights in his way, that's what we should be doing consistently. We should be delighting in the ways of God, in the good and in the bad. Isn't that an awesome thing, really? Isn't it? The Lord Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, delighting even in our ways? Now, if I got to delight in God's way and follow God's way, then how can God delight in my ways? Yes, God does delight in our ways. When he sees us following him, when he sees us going through difficult times, when he sees our faith being stretched, poked, twisted, prodded, pulled, bent, to the point you feel like you just can't go on anymore, but yet you still bear down and say, okay, God, I'm having a hard time with this, but I'm still going to trust you. Folks, I have a hard time at times, but I'm still going to trust him. I want to quit at times. Yes, look, I'm not going to stand here and feed you some bull story. There are times I want to quit, but I can't. Because according to his words, his kingdom is far better than what I'm dealing with at the present time. And yes, look, the Christian life is not always easy. And there are times that we do fall. But just as a parent is there to catch their child when they take their first steps or ride the bike for the first time, God's promise is that he will pick us up with his hand. God will pick us up with his hand when we fall. What a blessing for us to have God delight in us. To have him pick us up when we fall and when we make a mistake. But how sad it is for those who choose not to know him. When they fall, no one picks them up, and they are doomed for destruction. And yes, many we see that does not serve God. Many that we see, they seem like, man, they are flourishing. Man, they are getting everything. They are prospering. They are having it made. And at times we see ourselves struggling. And yeah, they may seem like they're flourishing for a season, but their end is not to be envied. Their end will lead them to destruction. And why do I take delight in this? Not in their destruction, but why do I take delight knowing that my God is going to see me through the end? Well, look what Psalms chapter 37, verse 34 to 36 says. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When you look on when the wicked are cut off, I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him and could not be found. And if you read a little further in that passage in verse 38, and I like how he puts it like this. He says, but the transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. Take comfort in it, my friends. Even when the wicked seem like they're prospering, don't envy them. Without God, they are doomed. They will be destroyed. But what David is doing in this short little passage here, my friends, he tells us in the psalm about God's goodness and blessings towards those who have been made righteous in the Lord. God himself delights in us. He does. It is God's delight to prosper us, to give us a hope, to give us a future. Yes, God wants to do all those things for us. Why? Because he knows the future and his plans for us are good and full of hope. We have hope. As long as God, who knows the future, provides our agenda and goes with us as we fulfill his mission, we, my friends, have hope. This does not mean that we will not be spared pain, sufferings, and hardships, but God will see us through a glorious conclusion. Woo-hoo! Wow! So, folks, we should never, ever envy evil people. Even though some may be extremely popular or excessively rich, no matter how much they have it, it will fade and will vanish like grass that withers and dies. How many movie stars y'all seen died so miserably and yet they had so much money? The one thing they were lacking was Christ. What a miserable life. They were never happy. And they're paying for it now. Are you heading in the right direction? I hope so. Are your steps ordered by the Lord? Is He delighting in your ways? Is He? Like I just said, we should never, ever envy evil people. You know, like I said, they're extremely popular. They may be extremely rich. And like I said, no matter how much they got, oh yeah, my friends, it will fade and it will wither and vanish like smoke. The good news is that those who follow God live differently from the wicked. We, my friends, those of us of Jesus Christ, we live differently from the wicked. And in the end, we, you and I, will have far greater treasures in heaven. Whoo! And what the unbeliever gets will only last in their lifetime here on this planet. What you get from following God, whoo! Will last forever. Isn't that something to shout to rooftops about? Is that something to say hallelujah about? What we get from God lasts us forever. If that don't get you happy, I think you need to go have a talk with God, my friends. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this tonight. Do you have a decision to make in your life? Do you? Do you need help and guidance to go into the right direction or to walk the correct path? Do you? Now, I used to watch this show a lot, so maybe some of you know what this show is, but have you ever seen the television show called Cops? You know, bad boys, bad boy, what they're going to do when they come for you? I see somebody typing, and I know I watched it a lot. But, you know, if you know what I'm talking about, yeah, okay, so good. But have you ever noticed in the show, man, they'll run up to someone's front door and boom, and kick it right on in. Please, please, put your hands up. Woo! I mean, they're running so fast, bam, boy, they knock that door down so fast. And those people that's in them houses that's doing wrong, oh, they just don't expect that. But isn't that the way, or isn't that the same way that we at times choose to proceed in our lives? We want to hurry and run through that door and kick that booger in? Do we do that sometimes? Instead of just allowing God to open doors for us, we end up choosing to kick the doors down ourselves. Folks, let me tell you something about that analogy. It's a lot harder to put a door back up than it is to kick it down. It really is. I'm not suggesting you go in your bedroom or whatever and try kicking your door down and see if it's a lot harder to put it back up. But if, like me, I used to work law enforcement, so I kicked down some doors. And let me tell you, it tore up a lot of frames. But in other words, folks, If you end up running ahead of God's direction to kick that door down, it's going to be a lot harder to put that door back up. In life, what we should be doing, we should look towards the doors that God is opening for us instead of us trying to impose our will by kicking the doors down that we want. Remember that. God wants to help you. He has a plan for your life. He wants you to fulfill it. He has created you for a reason. You are here on purpose. None of us is an accident. Better part of my life, I heard it from my family. You are an accident, boy. I heard it from other people. You are nothing more but an accident. No, God does not make an accident. Each of us is here for a purpose. So the good news is, and I like this, there is a plan. There really is. He knows what it is. He wants you to know it too, and he wants you to walk in it. So don't run up and kick the door down. Go up to it and let him open the door for you. Your Heavenly Father needs you in the right place, and he wants to help you get there. Why? Listen up. God loves you. He really does. He delights in you. He really does. Look what 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 says. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. And it says, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. That shows us how much God cares. So I will tell you this. Please, folks, listen. Online listeners, please listen to this carefully. If you are unsure about some things in your life today, go to God for help. If you are unsure about things today, quit trying to worry over them. Quit trying to fret over them. Quit trying to be consumed over them. Go to God. Go to him for help. And if you feel like that you somehow may have gotten on the wrong path, that's okay. Go to God for directions. The reason why I'm telling you this, my friends, because he promised to get you back on track if you are willing to follow him. Amen. Let's pray.